your mouth, I pray that prayer, please. Open your mouth, I pray that prayer. God must make a way for me, even in this situation, in the present circumstances. God must make a way for me. Please open your mouth, I pray. Open your mouth, I pray. Open your mouth, I pray. Make a way where there seem to be no way. Make a way where there seem to be no way. Make a way for me today. Make a way for me today. Make a way for me today. I want to believe you are praying, oh. I want to believe you are praying, oh. The Lord will hear your prayer. Make a way for me today. You are the one that makes a way where there seems to be no way. I need you to make a way for me. I need you to make a way for me. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I want to believe you are praying, no? Because there, every prayer you are going to pray here today, the Lord will answer you. The second one now, we have two more before we sit down. Say, my Father. My Father. Some people are not confident. Abi is not your father, ni? Say, my Father. And my God, in your power, in your glory, today, 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 let my stubborn oppressors and my stubborn pursuers and those that are waging war continuously against me receive your judgment. Receive your anger. In the mighty name of Jesus. Can you please open your mouth and pray that prayer? My God and my Father. My Father and my God. Today, every oppressor of my life and destiny, every stubborn pursuer, all those that are continuously waging war against my life, against my progress, against my joy, let them hear from you, Lord, this morning. Let them hear from you this morning. Thunder from heaven with fire. Thunder from heaven with brimstone. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Let them hear from you. Answer by thunder. Answer by fire. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want to believe you are praying. If you don't have enemy, if you don't have anybody hindering you, you can pray for me. Point your finger towards me and pray for me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. I prophesy upon the life of someone here till this morning. Every pit that the enemy has dug for you, they shall be swallowed by the digger. The Bible says, he that diggeth a pit shall what? Fall into it. Anyone that has dig a pit, that has dug a pit for you, for your children, for your family, for any of your loved ones, for any member of this commission, they will fall into their pit. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The last one before you sit down. Say, this week and the remainder of this month and throughout this year, I will arise. I will shine. For my glory has come. And the Lord is risen upon me. Say, this week, the remainder of this month, the remainder of this year, I, Oluwafemi, I will arise. I will shine, for my light has come, and the glory of God is risen upon me. Open your mouth and begin to decree that over your life. I will arise. I will shine, for my light has come, and the glory of God is risen upon me. I will arise and shine. I will arise and shine. I will arise and shine. I, Oluwafemi, will arise and shine, for my light has come. Throughout this week, throughout the remainder of this month, throughout the remainder of this year, I will arise. I will shine, for my light has come, and the glory of God is risen upon me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Our Father and our God, we thank you. Thank you for making it possible for us to hear your word again this morning. As we want to go into your word this morning, Lord, speak to us. Minister to us. Meet us at the very point of our needs. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, everlasting Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Can I hear a louder amen? God bless you. Please be seated. I prophesy upon the life of somebody here this morning. All your prayers shall be answered. Every prayer point you have fired here this morning, they shall receive immediate answers. I say they shall receive immediate testimonies. In the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The rain cannot stop us. Oh. Praise the name of the Lord. Everything that is created by God is subjected to the authority of God. So it can't stop us. Amen. I congratulate every one of you that is here this morning. The Lord has not brought you here by accident. You are here because it is destined by God for you to be here today. My prayer for you is that your coming here today will not be in vain in the name of Jesus. The God that answers prayer, the God to whom all flesh go and he answers prayer, shall answer you today in the name of Jesus. He will answer you by fire. He will answer you by thunder. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I see somebody here this morning, and I am led to tell you that you will never be put to shame. I don't know who that person is, but the Lord said I should tell you, you will never be put to shame. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every plan to disgrace you, every mechanism of shame and disgrace that the enemy has set in motion shall backfire. I say it shall backfire. I repeat again, it shall backfire. In the name of Jesus Christ, over your life, there will be testimonies. Over my life, there will be testimonies. Just as we have prayed this week, this month, and even throughout the remainder of this year, we shall have cause to testify. We shall arise. We shall shine in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If you believe it, can I hear you shout a louder amen? Praise the Lord. Since the beginning of this month, we have been treating the topic transformation. Is that correct? The Lord has told us that this month is our month of transformation. And I remember I told you that when something is transformed, it means there is a total change. There is a complete overhaul of that thing. That means when people see it, many will not even be able to recognize it again. That is what you call a transformation. That means something has changed completely. Something has changed drastically. And I remember I told you from the first week, I said for every great thing that you see happen anywhere on this earth, a transformation has taken place. If there is no transformation, there cannot be greatness. Are you listening to me? The transformation even starts from when you were in your mother's womb. When you were there in your mother's womb, a lot of transformations took place. Is that correct? I'm sure the father didn't put the baby inside direct like that. Something happened. It kept happening. It kept happening until you came out. For every great thing to happen, a transformation must take place. I remember we started by telling us that it was transformation that brought salvation to us. I told you the transformations that God himself had to go through. Because whether we believe it or not, Jesus Christ is God. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is God. For God to be able to rescue us, for God to be able to save us from this world, from wickedness, for God to be able to deliver us from the power of death and hell, some transformations needed to take place. I told you, I said, God cannot die. And because God cannot die, he had to go through the first transformation of becoming a man. He left his throne. He left everything he was doing in heaven. And he came to earth through Mary, the mother of Jesus, and he became a human being, a man. From there, he transformed again so that he can accomplish his mission. He allowed himself to be killed. He died. From a man, he became dead. He became a corpse so that he can overpower death and the devil. When he got the victory over death and the devil, the Bible said he transformed again. Nobody has ever transformed from the land of the dead to come back alive again. Jesus is the only one that completed that process. And because of that transformation that Jesus completed, he brought a new divine application, a new divine version. I told you that application is called the Easy Yoke Light Burden application. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden. I will do what? I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke, take my burden, take my yoke upon you." He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So by that transformation and by paying the supreme price, he was able to bring that easy yoke, light burden. And he told us to begin to plug ourselves, to connect ourselves to the easy yoke and light burden. Jesus came to save us from the power of the law. He came to save us from the power of sin. He came to save us from the power of the devil and of death. And he gave us a new application and a new version. I remember I told you last week, I said, for you to now benefit from that new version and that new application that Jesus brought, there are some transformations that also need to take place in your own life. I took you to the book of Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 and 2. I'm trying to do a review of what we have done so far. And the Bible says that we should offer our body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. So the first thing that you must do to transform and to meet up with that which God has already brought through Jesus Christ is to first of all, offer your body as a sacrifice. That means you become a living dead. You are alive, but you are no longer in control of your body. Who is in control? God. Because you have offered it to him. The second thing In that same Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 to 2, the Bible says we should also renew our mind. Our mind should go through a transformation. Is that correct? I told you last week that for you to, you know, orchestrate a transformation in your mind, you need to first of all know the kind of mind that you have. And I begin to take you, I began rather to take you into a lot of different types of minds in the Bible. We have the worldly mind, the carnal mind, and the worldly mind. I explained to you last week. We have the what? Reprobate mind. We have the fearful mind, fear mind, and a lot of other minds like that. And I told you last week, I said, if you still have all this kind of mindset, you cannot enjoy the new application and the new divine version that Jesus Christ has brought. Praise the name of the Lord. So number one, your body needs to be offered as a sacrifice to God. Number two, your mindset. Your mind needs to what? Change. Your mind needs to change. Number three, which is the one that we are going to look into today, is your spirit, the transformation by the Holy Spirit on your spirit. The transformation by the Holy Spirit on your spirit. Now listen, a man is made up of three major parts, three major components. A man is made up of three major components. The body, is that correct? The soul, which houses your mind. Your soul and your mind are together. Okay? Your mind and your soul is the real you. That is why somebody will tell you, I don't like the way your mind works. Your mind is who you really are. So your soul and your mind are together. Your soul houses your mind. So the man is made up of body, the soul, and the mind, and then the spirit. Three things. Now, for you to enjoy this new divine application, these transformations must take place in your body, which we talked about, giving your body and dedicating it to Christ. Your mind, which we have talked about, which is renewing it, changing it from what it was before. And then today, your spirit. Your spirit. There must be a transformation in your spirit to meet up with the new divine application of easy yoke, light burden. Praise the name of the Lord. Can I hear a louder hallelujah? Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1. We want to read from verse 4 to 8. So I'm talking about the transformation by the Holy Spirit of your spirit. Your spirit needs to go through a transformation by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 from verse 4 to 8. The Bible says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. He said they should not depart, but they should wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You shall be witnesses to me in Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 2, from verse 1 to 4. I want to read Acts of Apostles chapter 2. The Bible says, let's see how the promise was fulfilled. Jesus told his disciples in the place we just read now, Acts 1, 4 to 8. He said, after I have left you, go and wait for something. Go and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, and you will receive power after you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. So, before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't waste your time. Don't just move out. You cannot achieve much. A total transformation is not completed until you have received the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus told them. And look at Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. The fulfillment of the promise. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole place where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the name of the Lord. So Jesus promised and told his disciples, he said, well, I am going. I have made every arrangement for your life to become transformed to the new app. But the one thing that is remaining is the what? Holy Spirit. So please, don't rush out after I have gone. Go and wait. Tell your neighbor, go and wait. Go and wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. And verse 2 says, after the day was fully established, the Holy Spirit came upon every one of the disciples. Now listen to me this morning. If you forget everything, don't forget what I'm about to say now. This is a major fact. It's a major fact. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot, listen to me, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot upgrade to the new divine version and application that Jesus has brought. Without the Holy Spirit, are you listening? It is not possible. That was why Jesus told them, he said, I am going, but don't scatter yet, oh. Don't begin to rejoice yet, oh. Don't begin to evangelize yet, oh. Don't begin to move around yet, oh. Go and wait. There is one thing that is vital, that is important, that you must receive. That you must receive so that you can begin to enjoy this new plan, this new program, this new application that I have brought. And what is that? The Holy Spirit. So, apart from the first two transformations that I told you about, the body transformation, the soul and the mind transformation, there also has to be a what? Spirit transformation. And how does that spirit transformation work? Very simple. Every human being has his own spirit. Every human being has his own what? That is why when they say someone dies, that means the spirit of that person has what? Has gone, has left. The spirit is what gives us life. That is that breath that God breathed into the nostrils of Adam after he created him from the dust. The Bible says he breathed on him. That breath is the spirit that keeps man alive. Now listen to me very well. You see that spirit of man. I want you to pay attention this morning. That spirit of man has limit. The spirit of man has what? Limit. There is an extent to which it can go. When God came to earth in the form of man, and we called him Jesus, he saw that with the spirit of man, there is little or much that we can do. That was why when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says he was groaning and sweat was coming out of his body. And he made a statement. He said, "Oh Lord, how I wish this cup will pass over me." Why did he make that statement? Because he felt pressure. The spirit of man has limits. When there is much pressure, the spirit of man may give up. The spirit of man may not be able to contain it. The spirit of man may not be able to control it. But because Jesus had the spirit of God, even with that pressure, he still made another statement. He said, "But not my will. Let your will be what? Let your will be done. Let your will be done." If it was left to the spirit of man that was in him alone, he would have avoided that death on the cross. Because the spirit of man has limit. So, what did God do? After God has seen that the spirit of man has limit, he now decided to bring another spirit, which is called the Holy Spirit, to power the spirit of man, to catalyze the spirit of man, to ginger the spirit of man, to make the spirit of man become unlimited, to make the spirit of man become limitless. That Holy Spirit makes your spirit to become indomitable. I don't know if somebody is following me this morning. I want you to understand why the Spirit of God is very important. And without it, there is no way you can fully benefit from this new application that Jesus has brought. God knew that the spirit of man had limits. So that was why he told them. He said, "Go and wait until the promise." There is a promise. Apart from the spirit that God gave you that makes you alive, God is going to double up by sending the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. That spirit is going to come upon your spirit. Is somebody listening? He said, the spirit will come upon. He said, "And you shall receive what? Power." After the Holy Spirit has what? Come upon. Say, "Come upon." Say it. Say, "Come upon." That is what happens when the spirit enters into the spirit of man. It come upon it and it strengthen it. It catalyze it. It make it powerful. That is why I'm praying for someone here this morning. If your amen can roar like thunder, before the end of this teaching and this series, you will receive the Holy Spirit. I am talking about the original Spirit of God. The original Holy Spirit. Because there are a lot of counterfeit Holy Spirit everywhere now. A lot of counterfeit Holy Spirit everywhere now. Jesus said, that Spirit of God has to come upon the spirit of man to energize it. Because the spirit of man is limited. The Spirit of God needs to come upon the spirit of man to enable it. Because the spirit of man is limited. Jesus gave a divine directive to his disciples. He said, you need a spiritual transformation before you can begin to enjoy the new application that I have put in place. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me give a physical example of what I'm trying to say now. If you don't have an Android phone, I know you believe what we call an Android phone. All these modern phones, iPhones, all these Samsung Android and all those Android phones. If you don't have that type of phone, you cannot download applications. Am I communicating? Imagine somebody that has this old Nokia. Eh? You know, the one they used to call 3310 those days. I don't know how many of you have it. You remember that phone. And you now say you want to download Facebook. You want to download WhatsApp on it. It's impossible. So for you to be able to have access to that, all these new applications, all these social media platforms, you need your phone to be upgraded. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is the same thing that Jesus is trying to explain to us here. The Spirit of God must come upon your spirit. Without the coming upon of the Holy Spirit on your spirit, it's going to be very difficult to enjoy the easy yoke, light burden application. Is somebody listening to me this morning? What a lot of people have now termed to become Holy Spirit is not actually the Holy Spirit. You know, you have a lot of people everywhere. Many of us get deceived. Anytime you see somebody, you say, this one get Holy Spirit. Everybody thinks that when people begin to speak in tongues, that means they have Holy Spirit. There are a lot of fake, in quote, Holy Spirit outside there. Now, let me say this to you clearly, and I want you to take it from me because it's a fact. Speaking in tongues is not a common universal evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is an evidence, but it is not common to all. Listen attentively to me. Somebody can be baptized with the Holy Spirit and is not speaking in tongues. Is somebody listening? Don't let anybody deceive you. You know, even me, I've been deceived before on this issue. I remember those days in one of the churches I grew up in. They will gather us together and say they want to pray for us to receive baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they will be praying. Say anything will come to your mouth. Anything that comes to your mouth, say it out. And then people will be pray. When someone gets tired, nothing is coming to your mouth and you are tired, you will say, let me just say something so that these people will allow me to go. Because the people that are saying something, they will hold them by the hand and put them separate. Say, okay, these people, they have entered Holy Spirit. You are saying, oh God, oh yeah, say something. And you are already tired. You are there 1 hour, 30 minutes. So because you are under pressure, many people will now say, hula, hey, then now you have come. Oh yeah, praise the name of the Lord. Because in the mentality and in the knowledge, the shallow knowledge that we have at that time, our belief was that anybody that has baptism of the Holy Spirit must speak in a tongue. No. It is not the universal evidence. It is not the common evidence. There are only two common and universal evidence given in the Bible. I want you to listen to this. Because by God's grace in this place, we speak the truth. We say the truth. We preach the truth.
And once you have the truth, no man can put you in bondage any longer. Are you listening to me? Speaking in tongues is part of the evidence, but it's not a general one. There are two general evidences in the Bible. And that was where we read when we started. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, to be precise. What did he say? He said, "And you shall receive power." That is the first common evidence of the Holy Spirit. The first general, everybody that has Holy Spirit must have that one. But speaking in tongues, no, that one is not general. The first general one, according to the word of Jesus Christ, he said, "And you will receive what?" Did he say you will receive speaking in tongues? Did he say, "And you will speak in tongues when the Holy Spirit"? Is that what the Bible says? What is the first thing? You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's the first thing you will, that's the first general evidence. Power. He didn't stop there alone. He said, "And you will be witnesses unto me." That is the second evidence. If you see somebody that says he has Holy Spirit and he is not being pushed, he's not being gingered to talk about Jesus, to preach the gospel, to tell people about God, the Spirit, that Holy Spirit is suspect. Is somebody listening to me? Somebody, are you following me? Eh? That is the standard of the Bible. Those are the two general and common evidences. Power and evangelism. That was why immediately the apostles received their own. The first message that Peter preached, how many people were saved? Over 3,000 people gave their life to Christ. Is it that he has not been preaching before that time? He has been preaching. But this time around, something else was backing his messages up. That is the general and common evidence. So don't let anybody deceive you again by telling you that it is only by speaking in tongues that you have been guaranteed of the Holy Spirit. That is a lie. That is not the biblical standard. I have gone to churches. I have seen where people teach people to speak in tongues. They will say, "Repeat after me. Uri, 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 sada, 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 sada." They are teaching them. Some people pay money to learn how to speak in tongues. Many churches believe that until you speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. That's why some people will tell you, "Are you baptized with the Holy Spirit?" You say, "Yes." With the evidence of speaking in tongues, if you say, "But I don't speak in tongues," they say, "No, you don't have Holy Spirit." That is wrong doctrine. That is wrong doctrine. I will prove to you in the Bible so that you will understand that it's not everyone that was baptized in the Bible that received the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look at the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 41, please write them down. Because of our time, we may not be able to read everything. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those 3,000 people that were saved after Peter preached to them, the Bible makes us to understand that after praying for them, they also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible never wrote in that place, Acts chapter 2, 41, that those 3,000 people spoke in tongues. Please, when you get home, you can confirm what I'm saying. Then another person that received the Holy Spirit and didn't speak in tongues was Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul. You can find that in Acts chapter 9 from verse 17 to 18. Acts of the Apostles chapter 9 from verse, I think I should read that one. Acts 9, 17 to 18. Apostle Paul received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but he didn't speak in tongues. That is not a general and common evidence. There are only two general and common evidence: power and evangelism. Look at Acts chapter 9, 17 to 18. The Bible says, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hand on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road the Lord Jesus that appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at what the Bible says. It says, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. That was what fell from his own eyes. Something like scales. And he received his sight at once. And he arose and was what? Baptized. He arose and was what? Baptized. So he became baptized with the Holy Spirit. But there was no speaking in tongue. His own, something like scales, fell out of his... Is somebody following me? Okay? If you go further again to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, from verse 14 to 17. You will see some people there. They call them the people of Samaria. The people of Samaria. Let me read the latter part. He said, for as yet... Okay, praise the Lord. Acts chapter 8, from verse 14 to 17. He says, now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. He said, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them before they came. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they lay hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. Did you see and they spoke in tongue there? No. Am I communicating with you? So, don't let anybody confuse you. Because many people, after they come to a service where they pray and the presence of God is, and they lay hands on them, and the man of God tell them, you receive the Holy Spirit, they expect that their mouth will open, and then they will say, bah, 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 that is the only proof that they have received it. No. If somebody is speaking in tongues, it is good. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's part of the evidence. But it is not the general evidence. The general evidence is power and evangelism. If you see yourself exhibiting unusual power, unusual strength, you that you cannot pray for 30 minutes before, you begin to pray 1 hour, it looks as if you have not even started. You know that something has energized your spirit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The spirit of man has been energized by the Holy Spirit. So power, if you see yourself, you begin to, you don't feel comfortable anytime you are not telling somebody about Jesus. Praise the Lord. So many times, we post so many things on our WhatsApp page. I expect you to put it on your DP, to put it on your, you know, to begin to share it. Many of us are not even interested in all those Christian things. Some of us, it's only party that we want to share. Some of us, it's only when we do fine face and then we snap our picture and you are pouting and everybody is looking at your fine face. That's what you want to share. Some of us, how is our business? Ah, my business. Oh, they must know me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? All these things are good, though. I'm not saying they are not good. You can share those ones too. But when you find yourself not being energized to share the word of God, to talk about Christ, then your Holy Spirit is suspect. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. My prayer for you and I, as we get to round up now, is that before the end of this month of transformation, we will receive the original, genuine power of the Holy Spirit. That we energize the spirit of man that is in us, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Like I said, over 75% of those Holy Spirit you see outside there, they are fake. They are fake. They are fake. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. As we round up and go this morning, what happens when there is a transformation in your spirit by the Holy Spirit? How do you know? What happens? Like I told you, there are two basic evidences, two common evidences. Power and being witnesses. You will just find out that you want to talk about this Jesus. You want to praise him. You are not ashamed of him any longer. In fact, you want people to know that something has happened. These are the evidence that the Holy Spirit is now in control. What happens when these evidences begin to show? Number one, you are regularly interceded for. You find out that someone is praying for you, but you will know that someone is praying for you. Something is praying for you. You will know because things that were not working before will begin to work. That is the part of the evidence of power. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also help our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray about. But the Spirit of God himself will make intercession for us. So when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is praying for you. Imagine the Spirit of God praying for you. How powerful that is. When you have that baptism of the Holy Spirit, that power of the Holy Spirit, number two, what happens? You become unlimited. Nobody can limit you again. You are limitless. Nobody can box you to a corner. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. He said, he that is spiritual judges all things and is not judged by anybody. New Living Translation says, he that is spiritual evaluate all things and cannot be evaluated by anybody. You are no longer limited. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, nobody can tell you that this is the level you can get to know. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Number three thing, what happens? You become led and guided. It becomes very difficult for you to make mistakes. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and the daughters of God. You become a son and a daughter. People will just see you and say, this man is full of wisdom. Only God know how we take no, say this road not go good. How we take no, say now this road we go follow. These are the evidences that a transforming. And once the Holy Spirit is in you, there is no way things will not be easy and the burden will not be light. Number four, you become a witness. You become a soul winner. Number five, you become a mobile powerhouse. Number six, the word of God will always be in your mouth. You can find that in Luke chapter 12, verse 12. He said, the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. If there is anything you should crave for, it is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit upon your spirit, something changes. A lot of things changes. You see many Christians today, they say they are children of God. They say they have been born again for many years. They say they speak in tongues. But you begin to look at their life and you say, but how can you say you have this Holy Spirit and things remain like this? It is because they don't have the original baptism and power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to close your eyes right there where you are and begin to talk to God. Say, Lord, baptize me with your power. Give me the original baptism. The original baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, sometimes you don't even need anybody to lay hands on you. All you just need to do is to just sit down on your own or lock yourself up somewhere and crave for it. It will come. Once you have the Holy Spirit, transform your spirit, energize your spirit, you begin to enjoy the easy yoke and the light burden application. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. I need you. I need you. Every hour, I need you. Come bless me now, my Savior. I come to you. I need you. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I call to thee. Say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit upon my spirit. Let your spirit transform my spirit. Jesus said, you have to wait until the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, come upon your spirit. If there is no coming upon of the Holy Spirit on your spirit, you cannot enjoy the easy yoke light burden. That was why he instructed his disciples. He said, you have to receive it. It's number one. I read to you the story of the people of Samaria. The Bible says, even though they have heard the word, even though they have been baptized in the name of Jesus, he said, there is still need for them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Peter and John had to go and attend to that. Baptism of water is good though, but baptism of the Holy Spirit is the latest fashion. Jesus Christ told his disciples, say, John baptized you with water, but I am baptizing you with the Holy Ghost. That is superior to the baptism of water. Some people believe that baptism of water is the standard that you need to cross to do a lot of things. There are some churches that say, have you been baptized in water? It has become a religious thing. That baptism of water is just symbolic. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that is vital. Say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Oh, bless me. Now, my Savior, I come to thee. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Say, O Lord, my Father, this morning, let there be a coming upon of the Holy Spirit upon my spirit in the name of Jesus. Please open your mouth and begin to pray that prayer. Let there be a coming upon. He said you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Let there be a coming upon this morning. Let the Spirit of God come upon my spirit. Let the Spirit of God transform my spirit. Let the Spirit of God energize my spirit. Let the Spirit of God enable me to enjoy the transformations Jesus brought for me. Open your mouth and pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this one. Thank you for your word that has gone out. Thank you because it will not return to you.